House will come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Flake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Lickry.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Campbell. Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Filer.
Here.
Freeman. Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Excused.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparic excused. Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas. Nicholas. Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simwick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Throne excused. Wallace.
Here.
Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Nicholas. Nicholas. Nicholas excused. 56 present, 4 excused.
Brothers and sisters, we'll take things a little out of order today. After the prayer, we will wait on the first grade class from Dildine Elementary to lead us in the pledge. So right after the prayer, we'll go into playing ball, and then we'll do the pledge after the first graders get here. Prayer of the day today is offered by Father Jason Dickey, representing the Greek Orthodox Church of Saints of Constantine and Helen.
This morning's prayer comes to us from Saint Philaret of Moscow, who lived in the 19th century. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. My Lord, I know not what I ought to ask of thee. Thou and thou alone knows my needs. Thou lovest me more than I am able to love thee. O Father, grant unto me, your servant, all which I cannot ask. For a cross I dare not ask, nor for consolation. I dare only to stand in your presence. My heart is open to thee. Thou seest my needs, of which I myself am unaware. Behold and lift me up. In your presence I stand, awed and silenced by your will and your judgments, into which my mind cannot penetrate. To thee I offer myself as a sacrifice. No other desire is mine but to fulfill your will. Teach me how to pray, and do yourself pray within me. Amen. Now, yesterday, someone asked me, where is your hat? And I told them, well, I don't really wear my hat. The last time I wore my hat was in Albania. Now, that's why George Costanza converted to the Latvian Orthodox in Seinfeld. So I have my hat. And there was someone else on the floor who asked me, why aren't you chanting? So I will chant today. The fight song from my seminary, Holy Cross, Greek Orthodox School of Theology in Boston, Massachusetts.
Soson Kyrie ton laon su, ke evlogison tin kliron amian su, ni kastis fasile evsin katavar vavaron dorumenos, ke ton son filaton, via tu stavru su politema. Save, O Lord, your people, and bless your inheritance. Grant victory to your people against the adversaries of the faith, and protect your commonwealth through the power of your cross.
May God bless you. May God bless the state of Wyoming. May God bless the civil authorities and the governor, and may God bless all your endeavors today. Thank you very much.
The doctor of the day today is Dr. Nima Azerbehi Dio from Cheyenne. Welcome, doctor. Members of the House, today we are joined by the first grade class from Cheyenne's Dildine Elementary School. These students are here this morning to lead the Pledge of Allegiance and teach us their school pledge. Please join me as these young students and their teacher, Ann Carter, a high school classmate of mine, a Campbell County High School graduate, come to the chamber. Yeah.
I know I'm going to follow the speaker.
Thank you all for leading us in the pledge today and for teaching us the Dildine Pledge as well. And in class, we're glad that you have joined us and are proud of your efforts to memorize these important words. Representatives Juana Cerdan, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First off, this corner would like to apologize to the parents of the Dildine Elementary students. We just gave them a whole lot of candy on their way out the door. But second, if you guys look in the North Gallery today, we have the junior leadership of Laramie County joining us. They're high school kids from my community, and they're the best of the best, and they're here to watch us this morning.
Welcome to the House. Representative Yagi, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Up here we have in the red jackets the Skills USA team. This is their state officers. They're the ones that some of us got to work with at Boys State, maybe some at Girls State. And we're very glad to have them here. They're with Careers. They have Sutton Willis of Cheyenne, Josh Dillinger, Buffalo, Cheyenne Lopez of Lyman, Cody Nelson of Cheyenne, Phil Aspie of Rollins, Shaylin Bender of Douglas, Noah Daniel there from Cheyenne, and Ed Mann, Eileen Mofer-Reva, and John Larson, and Parker Jackson's up there. So welcome to the House, and glad to have you here.
Welcome to the House. The next order of business is Journal Committee report. Oh, wait. Sorry. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to introduce up here in this gallery over here is Carrie Cooper, who sits on the Board of Tourism for the state. But more importantly, she is the Executive Director of Jackson Hole Air, and she is the sole reason why we have direct flights from Newark, San Francisco, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, Dallas, Atlanta, Chicago, Denver, Salt Lake, all coming to Jackson Hole, and we really appreciate all of her hard work she does for our community and making sure we have all those direct flights bringing all of the visitors to our wonderful community.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
I wanted to draw the body's attention to the, is that South Gallery? To Mike Spiller, who is the Executive Director of Rev 3. This is an adventure race that will be coming to the state of Wyoming. That's an initiative of the governor in July, I think, 18th through 21st. There'll be teams from across the country coming to Wyoming to enjoy our beautiful outdoors and try to survive some of our more challenging geographic features. So welcome Mike Spiller, please.
Welcome to the House. Anyone else? We're at that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 11th, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representatives Filer and Winters.
With that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 266, concurrence passed, Mr. Speaker. The Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file number 30, special districts. Ayes 21, noes 8, 1 excused. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 267, concurrence passed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file number 68, sales tax zapping, ayes 27, noes 2, excused 1, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We're at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 118.
Senate File 118 is introduced by Senator Driscoll.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to eminent domain.
Senate File 118 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 142.
Senate File 142, introduced by Senator Case. Act relating to utilities.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to utilities.
Senate File 142 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next order, we're now at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. The first enrolled act is House Enrolled Act Number 26, being Original House Bill 21.
Enrolled Act Number 26, Original House Bill Number 21, an act relating to peace officers.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 26, being Original House Bill 21. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 27, being Original House Bill 28.
Enrolled Act Number 27, Original House Bill Number 28, an act relating to game and fish.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 27, having been Original House Bill 28. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 28, being Original House Bill 37.
Enrolled Act Number 28 from the Original House Bill Number 37, an act relating to game and fish.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 28, being Original House Bill 37. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 29, being Original House Bill 53.
Enrolled Act Number 29, Original House Bill Number 53, an act relating to state lands.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 29, being Original House Bill 53. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 30, being Original House Bill 82.
Enrolled Act Number 30, Original House Bill Number 82, an act relating to health insurance.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 30, being Original House Bill 82. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act Number 18, being Original Senate File 4.
Enrolled Act Number 18, Original Senate File Number 4, an act relating to livestock.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 18, being Original Senate File 4. I have so signed. The next enrolled act is Senate Enrolled Act Number 19, being Original Senate File 27.
Enrolled Act Number 19, Original Senate File Number 27, an act relating to environmental quality.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 19, being Original Senate File 27. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act Number 20, being Original Senate File 62.
Enrolled Act Number 20, Original Senate File Number 62, an act relating to the State Board of Education.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 20, being Original Senate File 62. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act Number 21, being Original Senate File 124.
Enrolled Act Number 21, Original Senate File Number 124, an act relating to liens.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 21, being Original Senate File 124. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act is Senate Enrolled Act Number 22, being Original Senate File 30.
Enrolled Act Number 22, Original Senate File Number 30, an act relating to special districts.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 22, being Original Senate File 30. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act Number 23, being Original Senate File 68.
Enrolled Act Number 23, Original Senate File Number 68, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 23, being Original Senate File 68. I have so signed. Brothers and sisters of the 62nd, the governor asked me to request you, and you'll get a memo on your desk, that he'll schedule a formal bill signing on any bill that you want signed if you request it, but he's not going to schedule bill signings for bills that nobody requests a bill signing for, because nobody's going to show up anyway. So if you want a formal bill signing, make sure after the enrolled acts are signed up here that you get the request into the governor if you want a formal bill signing with pictures and everything. The next order of business, Representative Walters, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In our gallery in the back, I would like to introduce four members of the Team Wyoming that are here with us today. We have Chet Johnson. He's a saddle bronc rider from Sheridan, Wyoming. Reigning champion of the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo, as well as a past champion of the Canadian National Finals. We have Jet Johnson of Casper, Wyoming. He is the 2011 world champion team roper on the healing end and a member of the team as well. We have Jason Miller from Lance Creek. He is the 2007 world champion steer wrestler. Off to a great start this year, winning a little over $10,000 at the National Western Stock Show in Denver. He also joined the Mountain Dew team last year in conjunction with Admiral Beveridge in Worland, excuse me, and Les Shepherdson, last year's National Finals Rodeo champion. And they're here joining us today. If you could join me in a round of applause for Team Wyoming.
Welcome to the House. The next order of business is reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 9, engrossed private transfer fees, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, Watt, one no vote. Representative Gingrey, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 115, Protective Services Investigation Amendments, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Crone, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 146, engrossed, termination of parental rights, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, one no vote, Representative Watt, signed by Representative Crone, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 83, engrossed, Medicaid fraud recovery, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Throne, and Wilson. One no vote, Representative Barlow, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 84 engrossed, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Premiums, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Wilson, and Representative Throne was excused, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 147, Engrossed Stroke and Heart Attack Treatment Centers, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Throne, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
With that order of business of bills on second reading, the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File Number 6 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to public utilities.
Senate File 6 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File 19 is introduced by Senator Geis, an act relating to special hospital districts.
Senate File 19 has an amendment. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 19 and ask for your favorable consideration. In our deliberations yesterday, we were talking about hospital districts and those communities that desire hospital districts and their difficulty in establishing a threshold. And so what this does is it says that a petition to establish a special hospital district shall be signed by not less than 25% of the landowners owning at least 10% of the assessed valuation of property within the area proposed to be established as a special district in one or more counties or part of a county as shown by the assessment records of the property of said area. And what I feel this does is give more voters. I mean, if you're talking about a community, you're talking about people that own homes, you're talking about people that live in the area, you're talking about people that need medical care, and so bringing this assessed valuation down to 10% allows more of the people to participate. And I would stand for any questions.
Representative Teeters, Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment, I think this lowers the standard and increases my concern about this piece of legislation. It also would increase the probability that you're allowing people that aren't paying the taxes to be able to raise the tax. And so I would urge you to vote no.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, urge you to vote against this. It sounds good when you look at it. As just your previous speaker pointed out, it does lower that. You do have that possibility of having, once again, a minority or a few determining what the rest of the people would have to vote on. The whole purpose of this bill was to allow people to have the opportunity to vote on whether they wanted a hospital district or not. And that was to go through the county commissioners to do that. And by changing this, you would take that right away from again. Once again, that was the whole purpose of this bill, was to bring that forth. Remember, this was to make it simpler or easier to put the question out whether there should be a hospital district within a particular area. And if you think this is going to be easy, think about this. If there's a large corporation in that area that owns a large percentage of the land, large assessed valuation, will the people even sign a petition if their names are out in public that work for that particular corporation? I suggest they probably will not. I put in your box there a handout. Looks like this. All it is a statue. It's a statue that tells you what the elector or what the signer of a petition has to go through to to be on that petition prior to the submitted to the county commissioners. It's quite lengthy. It says in there that each one shall sign a petition and a date after that. Goes on to say that any elector, a person shall add after his signature, the person's date of birth, place of residence, giving street and number. Even for the larger organizations, the larger entities, it says you have to place on there what percentage you own of the land, what percentage within that district that's being proposed. I say this is very cumbersome. I ask you to defeat this amendment and move ahead with the bill as outlined.
No, for the first time. Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I believe this amendment just really muddies the waters. We already have in statutes a mechanism for creating this special district because it mirrors the process by which we create fire districts. And the reason we did that is because of health and safety reasons. And I would submit that that's exactly the same reason why we're trying to do this with the hospital districts. So I would encourage you to vote against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In favor of the amendment against the bill, I just want to remind folks what we're doing here. If a special district is voted in, that's a mill levy that goes against all of the property owners within that district. And as I said yesterday, you have the freedom to define the boundaries of that district. And there's no way around this. All this is an attempt to allow to tax people who don't have a voice. And this gives me concern. This is a little more palatable with a 10% component in this. But if you want a hospital district set up to meet the requirements under the statute, you define the boundaries. I've seen this happen in my own county dealing with municipal solid waste districts. They were designed so that they could get passed and put in place. And this is what really bothers me with this, is that the people are going to be paying the tax. We keep hearing this comment. We just want to let the people vote on it. We want to let the people vote on taxing somebody else. It just gives me a great pause. I know the problems with rural health care. I live in a county where we have it, and where that is an upfront issue that we have to deal with all the time. So I'm not trying to do anything to get in the way of that. I just want to make sure that when I go back home, I can look at my landowners, the people with the assessed value of my county, and say, you know what, I stood up for you. So again, I'm going to vote for this amendment, but I'm not going to support the bill.
Who else for the first time? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to echo what the previous speaker said, and both against the amendment and against the bill. Bottom line, pure and simple, this is taxation without representation. Those who pay the taxes won't get a say in what they pay. It's that easy. So either vote for taxing the people without a say, or vote to keep it the way it is. On and against the amendment.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for the bill. I think it's ironic that we as a legislature, particularly in the House of Representatives, watch as we pursue having an insurance contract available for every person in the state as well as the United States, with the assumption that by virtue of the fact that there's an insurance contract to pay the bill, that there's a service that's available. Those people that believe that are not the people of the state of Wyoming, where we're sparsely populated and we have a distance to availability that isn't occasioned as it is in metropolitan areas. So as we look at that, and look at that problem that we're trying to address, we discover that the service providers, the doctors, are now going and moving towards clinics where they have an assumption of some control of a private life to the exclusion of those people that live so far away. In my particular county, we have a wonderful hospital. We only pay out hundreds of thousands of dollars of uncollectible debt. That's a part of the service of the institution, of the hospital. And here we are saying that we want to deny that opportunity to a county that desires to have a voting procedure to establish such a service and make it available to their people. Voting no on the amendment, voting aye on the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Nicholas.
For the amendment and against the bill, if you, folks, I just want you to think about why the 25% was put in there. That was reached as a compromise to say, look, exactly what the previous speaker has been saying, someplace you have to draw the line. You draw the line where what is reasonable fairness in terms of the 50% of the landowners versus the 25% of the owners and 25% of the total, and then you look at the assessed evaluation. So it was a mechanism by which the few wouldn't be able to tax everyone else around them. So they just created a boundary to make it reasonable. And that's all that that number does. And all this does is just narrows down that number a little bit more, allows the smaller districts to expand a little bit, but not too much further. So we're just trying to give a helping hand out. So I just think it's a good idea to go for the amendment and otherwise against the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a fascinating debate, and I don't understand how you can be for the amendment and against the bill. If you're for the amendment, you believe that the number of people that it would be required to move the proposition forward, the assessed value would be less. So if you believe that this is representation, taxation without representation, you should be against the amendment. I guess maybe I'm not reading it from that perspective, but I think it ought to be 35% of the assessed value in the district so that more people that are going to be impacted by the tax have more say in whether or not the tax is passed. So I would urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In committee, we heard some very compelling evidence that this is a very, very important bill to our smaller hospitals especially, and as far as the representation part of that goes, in my county, 57% of the taxpayers or the people in our county live in one town, the same town where the hospital resides. I submit that they are landowners also. They may not own tens of thousands of acres, but they are landowners and they are taxpayers. And we desperately need this in order to keep that hospital open. Remember, it's the only one within a 100-mile radius of that particular location.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. They suggest that all you got to do is redefine the boundaries on that. Does that mean that if that would happen, that the local hospital district would not have to support the people outside of that boundary? I'm suggesting that's a fallacy to start with. Just a reminder, this act was put in place 20 years ago. What demographic changes have occurred within 20 years? Was this addressing the large companies? Was this addressing large landowners at the time? This is just to update that particular statute within the books. Just a reminder also, small hospitals are under intense financial pressures. They're facing cuts. They are required by law to treat those within their emergency rooms. A lot of those are taken as a loss to the hospital themselves. They are under unknown pressure from the Affordable Care Act that's coming forth at this time also. All we're saying is give these small hospitals, give these communities a chance to form a hospital district and let them take care of themselves. It affects everybody within that hospital district, yes. But that's why we're doing it the way we are, to allow the county commissioners to set forth a proposition to form a district, but also to hold meetings prior to that time to listen to the concerns that come forth. So with that, Mr. Speaker, against the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for the second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate all the good comments that we've heard. I would just submit to you that there's more than one step in this process, that the first one is just to get the signatures on the petition. And to be able to do that, you're going to have to get critical mass, 25% of the people who own land. And then it goes to a review of the county commissioners, and then it goes to the vote of the people. So I just tried to make it so that we would be able to look at a little bit less of the valuation of the land and more of the people that are served in the hospital. I would urge your aye vote on the amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 19. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 19 has failed. Senate File 19 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 37.
Senate File 37, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to public utilities.
Senate File 37, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 91.
Senate File 91, from Senator Hines, an act relating to county commission composition.
Senate File 91, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 132.
Senate File 132, from Senator Driscoll, an act relating to game and fish.
There is an amendment, Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 132. This amendment would just be continuing on the discussion that we had yesterday. I bring this amendment for a couple of reasons. One is that the amendment that we passed creates a very vague bill. There's issues with that. If a hunter were to go out with a suppressor hunting varmint and he has a big game tag in his pocket at the same time, he'd be subject to a violation of the game and fish. Same thing if he were to go out predator hunting and he has a big game tag with him and he's out antelope hunting at the same time. He's in a bad situation because he's got a suppressor with him and he would be in violation of the code. This bill with this amendment that we passed yesterday is very vague. I think it's troubling to me that there's testimony out there, people saying that this is going to create an issue when we've heard no testimony from anybody about any increase in any type of poaching. Lastly, I'd like to just point out that I think it's our responsibility to be accountable to our voters, and I think it's important that they know where we stand on these issues because this is important to a lot of people. I've received a lot of emails about this, and I'd like to call for the ayes and the nays on this.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you come up here? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I stand on and against this amendment. I think I went on in detail yesterday why I supported the amendment that I brought forth, and for brevity, I will not repeat those. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Against this amendment, I just want to remind you that 27 states out of the 39 that have suppressors allow hunting, and there hasn't been any problems, hasn't been any violations with this, and I just don't think there's been any poaching going along with this, with suppressors. So I keep hearing the suppressors are going to enlarge the amount of poaching that's been done. We can have it right now.
Yep.
And I keep getting told I'm for the amendment, of course. But I just don't think there's anything to that. And then the sound, it was one of the biggest reasons. And again, the sound is only reduced in a normal hunting rifle to 130 decibels, which is above the threshold of pain. And so, you know, how far are you going to hear the sound? I think you're going to hear it plenty of distance. So I'm just kind of thinking we just need to start trusting people and let them make their own choices instead of we make their choices for them. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I'd have probably been for this amendment until the ayes and noes were called. I'm getting tired of these commando legislative tactics happening on the floor where we create this laundry list of naughty and nice so that we get toys or coals of stocking from Santa Claus at Christmas time. And so I'm going to vote against this amendment just because I'm getting tired of this type of approach in legislating where we create fodder for what I believe to be some unethical lobbying organizations who then send out blast emails and fundraising approaches based upon votes on second and third reading. The way we vote on these bills is the way we vote on these bills. And so this my way or the highway approach that we see in Washington, D.C., I think is unacceptable for this body. I think it's unacceptable for decorum. It's certainly within the rights of these people to do that, and it's certainly within the rights of the voters to know how we vote on this amendment. But I'm getting tired of it. Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick response. I would be in support of recording the ayes and nays on every amendment we do because I think there's a number of individuals that vote differently when they know they're accountable to their constituents. I would assume that and I've seen it happen, so you're making noises, but it happens. I see people change their votes all the time. You know, I think it's important. This isn't pushed by any organization. This is something that I think is important to the voters back home. I think there's enough people back home that want to know where we stand on this issue that it needs to be recorded. And unfortunately, this is to protect the minority. So, you know, maybe you guys may disagree with this, but the fact of the matter is we have every right and our ability to do this, and I think it's important that the people back home know where we stand on these issues. And I just want to address one other thing, too. As far as technology, I hear an argument that technology is going to advance and that these suppressors are going to reach a point where it's going to be completely silent. The fact of the matter is this is physics. If a bullet breaks the sound barrier, it's going to create that pop and it's going to create that crack. So I would submit to you that scopes are technology. So if you want to eliminate all technology out of hunting, then maybe we should just move a bill that eliminates the ability to use a scope. So on and for the amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 132. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Lickry.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd. Campbell,
no.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Davison,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay, excused, Gingrey,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
Yagi.
Aye. Kasparic excused. Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simwick. Summers,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne, Throne excused, Wallace,
no.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harshman? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 25 aye, 32 no, 3 excused.
Senate file, or second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 132 has failed. Senate file 132 having received, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final pass. Representative Connolly, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, in the West Gallery, we have Leadership Laramie, the future business leaders from Laramie here joining us. Could we welcome them?
Welcome to the House. We're at that reading of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 1.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, submitted by Senator Ross, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to remove the requirement that a person be a resident of the state of Wyoming to serve as a trustee of the University of Wyoming, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Chairman's Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is the one that we laid back yesterday, and I wanted just to let you know that that was not a tactical move. It was 2 minutes prior, I realized that we didn't have everything on this amendment that we needed. This is actually the resolution that would go to the voters, and as you remember yesterday, we were talking about how many board members is the right amount for the University of Wyoming, and the original bill and the original resolution asked for 2, and this is asking for not more than 20%. I can tell you that a community college south of this state has 30 members on their board, and I can tell you that a university to the north of this state has 40 members on their board of trustees. Why, I do not know, nor do I want to debate that. But I'm looking at antiquated laws, and what I would like to have happen is if this resolution does pass, in 20 or 30 years, another legislature will not have to come back and say, oh, we need 3 or we need 4. And I think the percentage is a very appropriate way to go when we're looking out 30 or 40 or 50 years into the future. So whether you agree with it or not, I think this is the best way to present it to the voters, and I would stand for a favorable aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Sir, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I consider this a friendly amendment, and my question I raised yesterday was adequately answered. I'd urge you to vote in favor of this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time? We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution has passed. Senate Joint Resolution having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass?
What?
Oh, is there another amendment? I don't have it. Has this been? Does everybody have third reading amendment number 2 to Senate Joint Resolution 1? I don't. Okay, we're on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate Joint Resolution 1. Chairman, or Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate Joint Resolution 1. This just inserts the word appointed before the word trustee and makes it, or trustees, and makes it consistent with the explanation. So we have consistent language in both places. I'd ask you to vote for the amendment.
Any more discussion on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate Joint Resolution 1? We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate Joint Resolution 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate Joint Resolution 1 passes. Having Senate Joint Resolution 1 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic excused. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart. Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne excused. Wallace.
No.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gingery, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 42 aye, 15 no, 3 excused.
Senate joint resolution having received two-thirds vote of the members elected to the House, Senate joint resolution number 1 has passed the House. Conference Committee for Senate File 76 will be Representative Moniz, Chair, Summers, and Goggles. We're at that order of business of third reading on the budget bill. The reading clerk will read the Standing Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2 on Appropriations has reviewed Senate File 1 pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1, E, 1 and 2. The following lists are provided. It is signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Chairman Harshman, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I think you have distributed in your tray the conference committee report. So it's stapled, quarter inch thick, or the standing committee report from the Senate. So you'll need to dig that out. We're going to go through that page by page. It's what it looks like on the front. It has a Senate file 001. Okay, everybody have that? I think it was distributed. And the privilege of the floor, Mr. Chairman, is on the goldenrod, folks. So you got a new goldenrod, and if you look at that all-important line number 6, it's not been much movement. You can see the Senate difference. They have 12.5 on the table for saving or spending, and we have 10.7. So it's a difference of about $1.8 million. And you will remember some of those differences. Many of these are budget bill differences. There are a few bill differences. So any questions on that? We'll go ahead, Mr. Speaker. I'm finished.
Mr. Chairman, would you move the standing committee report?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I'd move to adopt the standing committee report to Senate File 1.
Pursuant to joint rule, you've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Standing committee report has been moved and adopted. Pursuant to joint rule 14-1F1, Senate File 1 is placed directly on third reading for the purpose of explanation of Senate amendments. Mr. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, we will just take a moment, 5 minutes or so, and flip through this page by page, and you can write notes on each amendment. We'll discuss them. The first several are identical, and I'll point those out as we go. Okay, and it's just like any, Mr. Speaker, it's just like any other amendment. You can see the order that they came and the second reading amendments here first, and we'll go through these. So the first one is on page 1, and that's amendment number 2002. And this is a identical amendment in the House, money out of the Capitol Building Rehabilitation Account for the enhanced level 1 and level 2 studies. That was identical. At the bottom of page 12004 is an identical amendment on the veteran service officers coming out of the general fund. On page 2 in the middle, Senate 2009 is an identical amendment on behavioral health for the certification of joined mental health substance abuse centers. So that's the certification piece. We increased that in both chambers. $7,000 per, and I think the total went from $77,000 to $97,500. Mr. Speaker, on page 3 is 2017. This is an identical amendment on a report on early childhood. State Advisory Council will go to the Joint Education Interim Committee. On 2019, an identical amendment is cleanup where we deleted through and inserted until, and this had to deal with the mergers and the certification of mental health substance abuse centers. On page 4, Mr. Speaker, Senate Amendment 2020 is also an identical cleanup with the Department of Corrections. We delete probationers and parolees, and we insert inmates, and this is where we move 70 inmates from medium security Torrington to Casper and some from Casper to the Honor Farm in Riverton, and we don't have to go in and finish that fourth pod in Torrington. And so it's quite a cost savings to us. We deleted also some language that said this was one time and inserted because we know it's not going to be one time, but we did say they have to come back to get this reauthorized. So in effect, it's the same, but we cleared that up. And those are identical amendments. Senate 2021 in the middle of page 4 is the community college major maintenance where we inadvertently tried to help put everybody on the same kind of treat everybody equally. Since 2008, we helped 3, but we inadvertently hurt 5, and so that was the cleanup we adopted in both chambers. Mr. Speaker, on the bottom of page 4, 2023, which carries over to page 5, is an identical amendment. It's try to get a cleanup on the reporting requirements for our K-12 school districts to the Department of Education. Next is 2026. This deals with the Cancer Survivors Youth Camp. This is an identical amendment. Carrying over to page 6 is Senate 2001. And this is actually where we start kind of the non-identical amendments. And some of these will be closed, some that we don't have at all. This actually restored the cut to the Secretary of State, but it took the money by deleting 2 public health nursing positions. And so that's how the Senate paid for that. We did not cut. We just said when a future opening occurs that cannot be refilled, and we can gave the Secretary opportunity to reshuffle and reclassify. Okay? So there's a difference. And then at the bottom of 6, 2005, which carries over to the top of page 7, is where we gave back 2 employees, and a uranium and a permitting employee in the Department of Environmental Quality. Those were short-term openings. We later found that applications had been issued and actually offers for those jobs. But we took back, the agency gave up 4402. The difference is we gave the money back with it, some partially federal, partially general fund. The Senate just gave back the positions with no money, so the agency would have to flex the money somewhere within their budget. In the middle of page 7 is 2008. This is a partial amendment that we had. We deleted all of A right there on page 7. This has to do with Department of Transportation. No construction on money that's used for environmental impact statements below the speed limit. Now, we deleted all of A you see on page 7, and the first line on page 8 through the second line of the Environmental Policy Act. And then the rest of that we have in the budget as well.
So there's a difference. Next one is really a technical. They're identical. It's 2013, and they're identical except for if you go to the top of page 9, where it says section 336, it should say, I believe, 317. And section below that, 317, should say 336. So they're identical. That'll be an easy change. Next, at the bottom of page 9 and carrying over 10 is 2015. And this is amendments adopted in both chambers about one payment for this employee retention stipend, going from 2 to 1. Okay, Mr. Speaker, the next is 2016, and you remember where we added two positions in the insurance department to work on the rulemaking with the Affordable Care Act, and one in the Department of Health. Remember, those in insurance are paid for by industry funds. The one in the Department of Health, we said that you can take it from a current vacancy. This amendment says authorized another position. And you'll see later there's an amendment on third reading, 3026, that fixes this and takes out that last sentence on page 11 of that long amendment from a vacant full-time position. So it is kind of fixed to be identical as we go through. Okay. Next is a change on 2018, which starts in the middle of page 11. This is a task force on capital rehabilitation restoration. Remember, on third reading, we changed it to 3 members instead of 2 members from each of our elected bodies. And we also inserted to make sure that only the elected people are actually voters on this task force. And so as the House position is 6 legislators, 5 from the 5 electeds. The Senate position was our old position of 4 from the legislature and 5 from those elected bodies. Okay, now, Mr. Speaker, on page 13 at the bottom is 2025, and this has to do with air service, airport improvements. The Senate restored $240,000, but they took it from the community facilities program. Now, this amendment failed in the House. So this is, of course, as all these, the Senate position. Next is 2029 on page 14. In the middle there is, actually, and I won't even discuss this because it's deleted later, and you won't see this when we come back and join comments. This amendment is deleted. It's part of the budget cut proposals. It's deleted by 3022. Okay, so, Mr. Speaker, on page 15, in the middle, 3001, third reading amendments now. This is, we set aside $500,000 from the governor's office to study foreign markets and try to kind of institute a program that we'd had previously. The Senate kind of did this, but they reduced part of the deep water port money and by $25,000 and put it to this study. So the Senate position is $25,000. Ours is $500,000. We took it out of community facilities. They took it out of a real similar initiative, the Deep Water Ports Initiative. And you can see their language on page 16 as well. Okay, and then, Mr. Speaker, on page 17 is 3002. For the new department, section 005, which is the superintendent of public instruction, the differences are, members, on if you go to the 100 series, they actually, that 100 series is driven because they have 9 positions. Our House position is 7. I believe the 200 at 96,000 and the 400 series at 7,000 are identical to the House position. And I believe our House position was 50,000 compared, you can see the Senate's there in the 900 series at 83,000. The 600 series and the Teacher of the Year is identical. So the main differences are the 100 series and the number of employees. Over on page 18 is the number of employees. And you can see they have 9, and I think our position is 7. And I believe all these these footnotes, 1, 2, and 3 are identical. I think 4 has a little change because we do not have footnote 6, the Senate footnote 6, and I think we've incorporated some of footnote 6 into our footnote 4, and then footnote 5, I believe, is identical. Mr. Speaker, at the bottom of this amendment on page 19 is the baseline audit. I believe that's identical language to the House position. And then next, Mr. Speaker, is 3008, which was a divided amendment. Both divisions passed, and there's a couple budgets affected. This deals with the Cowboy Marketing Program cut. They took the cut out of the Office of Public Defender, whereas our position is out of the $21 million or so and 900 series in that agency, we said take it from somewhere else in that $21 million. And this program will not be cut. So that's how we did it. We did not, I think we earlier had an amendment to take it out of the public defenders, but I think you defeated that. Okay, and 3010, Mr. Speaker, on the bottom of 21 is really a real technical correction, and it's deals with an audit of the department. Department of Ed, and it's the only difference is over on page 22, third line from the bottom. There's just one word. I think our House amendment said Joint Appropriations Committee, and the Senate says Joint Appropriations Interim Committee. Okay, and then the next, Mr. Speaker, is 3011 in the middle of page 22. This is interesting. We had the Fisher cut bait debate, and you guys cut bait. And so the Senate did it a little differently. They cut also, but they took the money really out of the 400 series. They moved it around a little bit and made the Department of Transportation take out of the 400. But I think the key part was $106,000 in highway funds, federal highway funds. They put those back in so they can be matched. They're construction funds. Those aren't federal. Those are, I don't believe, S7. Those are state, our state CAPCON funds with that, and so if we put it back into the CAPCON, we can match that with an equal amount of federal funds, which made sense. So we'll work on that and probably, but I think part of their idea is pretty good on that. Okay. I strike that comment from the record, Mr. Speaker. Page 23, members, is 3012. We had this amendment. It failed in the House. These were these embedded budget cuts that have already taken place to senior centers of $490,585. The Senate increased general fund amounts to restore those cuts that were taken last year. Next is 3014 at the bottom of page 23. And this is, I'm not sure, this is deals with the father factor. We didn't even have any, we had no amendments. We didn't discuss this. But really, the history, we've supported this on both in this legislature for years, but this program took a 50% cut last year, and I don't know where the other 30,000 were. This, so we'll have to discuss that. We don't have any language or any consideration of that. Next, on page 24, is 3015. This deals with the pine bark beetle and fire suppression. We had originally $2.5 million set aside that the governor could use after the fire season. They changed the language slightly and reduced the amount to $2 million. You'll remember that we took the money straight up out of the general fund. That's one of the big differences money-wise with us in the Senate. Okay, next, Mr. Speaker, is 3016 on the bottom of 24, and it goes over to 25. We had this identical amendment was defeated in the House, and these are the report requirements on various areas at the University of Wyoming. And that carries over, members, to page 26. And we had a lively debate on this. 3018 deals with the artwork at the half-acre student facility at the university, and you can see the Senate position where they strike the SER and they insert trustees as oversight. I think we struck everything that was in the budget bill. And so we'll have to conference, of course, on that issue. 3020, members on page 26. 3020 is a budget balancer, and at the and it deals with all. In, we have a similar amendment, but we left $40 million on the table before the sweep to the LSRA. And this amendment is similar to last year, where we sweep at the end of the fiscal year any monies that come in while we're gone into the LSRA. So we'll conference about that. 3021 is a report requirement. That's in the middle of 27 on all additional positions authorized using special revenue funds and federal funds. It's probably not too onerous, pretty short report. And then bottom of 27, 3022. This is a deletion of a previous amendment on the budget cuts that I talked about that's really no longer, you won't see it anymore after today. And this has 2, 4, and 6% cuts in health and 4, 6, and 8% for everyone else, similar to ours, but this amendment does not involve the standing committees like our House amendment does. And so we'll, and there are no provisions for the courts for the third branch of government, as we had, I think, a flat budget, 0 and 2, 4, working with standing committees. Members over on page 29. This allows, we have a bill working through the system, and you can see it's House Bill 250, which would have been the 0.5% and the 0.5% retirement contributions, employee and employer, and we had considered it initially in this House as part of the compensation package. It's already been amended on the Senate side, but this says that if House Bill 250 is enacted into law, this local government distributions, and remember there's going to be 40 that we appropriated last year plus the 20 we've got in the budget bill this year, the $60 million that will go in August, we have a prohibition against personnel, salaries, those kind of things. We said you can use it for other ongoing expenses this year. We loosened it up a little bit to say trucks and snow removal and all those things that are ongoing in our municipalities. We said you could use it for that. Well, this amendment would say a little carve-out in that personnel piece saying you could use these local government distributions to pay the employee employer share of the retirement. We do not have any such amendment. And then on next is 3026. This actually fixed the previous amendment on the 2 in insurance, 1 in health, where they authorized previously a new position in health. We said this basically brings it in line with the House position where they could get that one position in health from a vacancy. And flipping over, Mr. Speaker, it's 3027 flips over to page 30. This is actually an amendment that this is a Senate amendment that says that funds in behavioral health budget shall not revert, can roll over. Now, we struck that provision in the House specifically, might have been in the Joint Committee, but they reinserted it on the Senate side. And then finally, this adds the joint on 3028. The next one adds the report on satellite courts to also go. It adds judiciary, the Joint Judiciary Interim Committee, to the recipient of those reports. And then finally, Mr. Speaker, the last one, 3029, you could just cross out because that was deleted by 3022. There were some, they didn't work together, and that deleted it. So I would stand for any questions, Mr. Speaker.
Any questions for Chairman Harshman? Chairman moved the conference committee report. I had us vote on it orally before. It was probably a little premature, so you have heard the chairman's motion on the standing committee report to adopt the standing committee report. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing committee report is adopted. Under budget bill procedure specified in Joint Rule 14-1, Senate File Number 1 is referred directly to a conference committee of five members from each House to meet to resolve the differences between the Houses with respect to both budget bills, House Bill 1 and Senate File 1. Conference committee for House Bill 1 is and Senate File 1 is Representatives Escobel, Harshman Chairman, Nicholas, Stubson, and Wallace. We are at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For general file today, the only change we have currently is that we will move down Senate File 22, Uniform Consumer Credit Code Amendments, to below Senate File 7, Conservation District's Special Expertise. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House has resolved itself into Committee of the Whole. Representative Byrd.
Today is Fat Tuesday, otherwise known as Mardi Gras, so with that being said, laissez le bon temps rouler. The Committee of the Whole will come to order. The first file for our consideration is Senate File 94. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 94 is introduced by Senator Schiffler, an act relating to the Wyoming Public Library Endowment Challenge Program, extending time for gifting to program and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred South Senate File 94, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program Extension, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickery, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Merci, Monsieur Chairman. J'espère pour un bon temps aussi. D'accord. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 9, Senate File 94 do pass, and I defer to the good Representative Patton to explain the bill.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What a pleasure to start off the general file with a bill that I think we all really want to support, particularly after you hear the explanation. I'm confident that you'll find it supportable. The bill addresses the Wyoming Public Library Endowment Challenge Program, which actually began in 2008. The bill changes the date on page 3, line 5, from 2015 to 2019. The original thought of the bill was to provide funds for all 23 libraries across the state. Each one was pledged to gift $1,100,000 on a matching program. The poor districts were a 3-to-1 match. The middle bracket were a 2-to-1 match. And those wealthy counties were a 1-to-1 match. 2008 was $9.1 million was appropriated and distributed and matched. 2010, another $3 million. 2011, another $3 million. 2012, another $3 million, so there is not an additional funding request at this special or general session. The original goal of the legislation was approximately $25.3 million, creating a match of $1.1 million for each county library to hold in trust. Please keep in mind that this is one of those rare things that the legislature has instituted and brought about, showing a confidence that the foundations, a foundation in each county, receives the money with only the obligation that the earned interest or income from that foundation may be expended for library expenditure needs. And with that, I think that's about all the good news that this bill needs. I ask for your support and the adoption of the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 94 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
Senate File 94 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 28. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File Number 28 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to administration of government, modifying procurement requirements for expenditures for capital construction projects, amending the definition of resident contractor, modifying and specifying preference requirements and procedures, providing that the state treasurer shall collect insurance on destroyed state buildings as specified, removing a dollar limit on materials, contracts eligible for a preference, providing that the preference requirements apply equally to all business entities and delivery methods, repealing certain preferences, amending reporting requirements, repealing a sunset date, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 28 engrossed resident preference provisions, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Cannaday, Greer, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Somers, and Winters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 28 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And I'd like to turn the explanation over of this Senate file to the good representative from Washakie County, but I'd like to make a little statement first. This was a product of an interim study that was done by the joint committees. I had a lot of input from a lot of people, and it was the best work product that was available to this complex issue, and keep that in mind as you hear the explanation. With that, I turn the explanation over to the good representative from Worland.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, could you instruct the Speaker Pro Tem to raise the mic back up to a decent height when she's done?
So noted.
Okay, folks, I have Senate File 28, which is, as was stated by the good chair of Minerals, the result of an interim select committee that took quite a bit of testimony, worked through these issues. Anyone that's been around for a while, keeping in mind I've only been here a couple years, contractor preference has always been an item of discussion. I'll go through the bill, and I do have a standing committee amendment, and I think very early on I'd like to go ahead and get that bill voted on. So what we started with, when you bring your bill to begin with, we look at it with the definitions. And we had a concern dealing with business entities being qualified as contractor, as resident contractors. And we had a very good definition that had been worked on through the years for a corporation, but we left these loopholes for other business entities like limited liability companies, limited partnerships, etc. What we did was a real simple cleanup and say that those requirements for the corporation, which is 50% or greater ownership, had to be in the state. Your chief executive officer had to be in the state. All of those items. We just had that apply to all business entities. All business entities are defined under Title 17 of the code. So that was a nice cleanup item that really fixed the loophole that had been exploited and was a concern over the years. With that in mind, then, I'll draw your attention to Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, which has already been moved. And as always happens, a little bit of time goes by, you look back and you're like, darn, I forgot something. Well, what the Standing Committee Amendment does is if two individuals who are Wyoming residents, have been certified Wyoming residents, decide to incorporate or to set up an LLC, and they file that LLC, well, they don't qualify under the definition. So what we wanted to do was just say, if you, the equity owners of a business entity, had previously been qualified as a resident contractor, just because they moved into a business entity for liability protection tax purposes, whatever the case may be, they're still a resident. So that's the explanation of the Committee of the Whole Amendment. I'll take any questions on that, and if there aren't any, get that out of the way.
Question being called for and a minor correction. That is a standing committee amendment instead of the committee of the whole amendment we're on.
Mr. Chairman, this is our standing committee amendment, number one.
Thank you, Representative Greer. We are voting on standing committee amendment number one to Senate file 28. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Standing committee amendment number one passes committee of the whole. We are back on the bill. Representative Greer.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, and I will take any questions when we're done, but I'm going to just move through this relatively quickly and hit the high points. On page five is the next component we looked at. And to be a resident contractor, you have to certify with Workforce Services. And they were giving what I would have to call over conditional certificates, allowing people who had a bid the next day come in and say, I'm a resident, I need to get this certification. After we went through this, we said, no more. You have to go in, go through the process, become a certified resident, and if you don't do it in advance, then you don't get to bid on the project, that cleanup item. The next component that we looked at, which was also with the engrossed copy, came out of dealing with materials. And one of the things we were trying to look at on page seven, and we got partway there. I don't know how we go any further, but we were getting bid specs that were bid so tight on materials that in-state suppliers really didn't have an opportunity to bid on those. And what was happening is those materials by the bid specifications were going to folks outside the state. And so we hope to address that on page 7. Moving along on to page 10, the other issue that was discussed at length dealt with resident laborers. Statutes say that you have to use resident labor on all public works projects in the state of Wyoming. That's a law. It's been a law since 1972. hasn't been enforced until just a year or so ago with the chief executive's directive. This caused quite a bit of concern. Through the interim, the agency that oversees this did get some rules and regulations promulgated and did help with the issues with our contractors knowing what they needed to do. One of the issues that came up was because we had enhanced penalties, if you recall, I think we put those in statute last year, we wanted to define the scope. If a contractor had a penalty regarding resident labor, we wanted to box that in so that if there was a penalty 5 years from now, they weren't barred from bidding public works projects. So what we did is we came in and just said, if you have one violation within any calendar year, you're going to get the fine and penalty. If you have a second, then you're barred from bidding public works projects. So it's really a one strike per year rule. Okay. The next major item that we looked at, if you'll recall 2 years ago, I thought it was very good legislation. With the contract management at risk procedure for doing large public works projects, we're having a difficult time. The preference really didn't matter. And so the legislature put in a requirement that if you're bidding on a public works project, that 70% of the work had to be done by resident contractors. That was the subs. And as we found through the summer, that was a great piece of legislation that really helped our Wyoming contractors. And that particular legislation had a sunset date on it. So we just did away with the sunset. We just said that's the way we're going to be moving forward. Interesting note, the 5% preference for contractors just isn't used all that much, but this 70-30 was significant, especially during the downturn in our economy. That coincided nicely. Now, with the 70-30 idea in mind, so you have to have 70% of your contractors in state, every now and then we run into projects where we don't have the expertise within the state of Wyoming. And so there is a waiver provision that's already in statute that we looked at and we modified. And that waiver provision is if there is not expertise within the state of Wyoming, you have to note that. You have to send it to the governor's office. We went a step further and said that we wanted that posted publicly. And where that is posted is on A&I. We'll keep a page on that, or page on their website that will list those waivers that are given and the reasons why those are given. So those are the main items of the bill. The other component that you're going to see as I come through with a second reading amendment is we also went from construction, repair, and maintenance to the concept of construction and major maintenance. Which will be a defined term that if you agree with me on this, I'll have as a second reading amendment. So that's my explanation, Bill. I'll take the questions. There is a committee of the whole amendment that deals with the issue of the definition of a citizen for purposes of your resident labor issues. And I think, well, I guess it's your show, Mr. Chairman, but I think now would be a good time for that.
Chairman Lockhart, would you like to address that before we move the committee of the whole?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move the committee of the whole amendment number one and recommend your support for it. Turn the explanation over to the good representative from Riverton.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman and members of the House, thank you. If you'll turn to page 10, Romanet number 2, it talks about the definition of resident. And if you read through that, our concern as we discussed this in committee was it would be hard for the state to enforce the definition, and it would also be very difficult for the employer to comply with because they're such vague definitions. And we had brought one standing committee amendment and started to pass it in the committee and found out with the intent of identifying agencies of the government that would allow citizens to be or people to be in the state legal or in the state legally, and found out that we had left out some federal agencies. So in your handouts, you should have a corrected copy of the amendment as LSO has it corrected. And what this does is it strikes under Romanet 2, it strikes all the new language. And on line 12, after United States, we will insert the language, or a person who is authorized to work in the United States by an agency of the federal government. So now the whole definition of residence would read, resident includes any person who is a citizen of the United States or a person who is authorized to work in the United States by an agency of the federal government and has resided in the state of Wyoming for at least 1 year immediately preceding his application for employment. So, Mr. Chairman, that's the our intent was to clean up that language and to make that easy to comply with and easy to enforce. And so unless there are any questions, I would stand for the question.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would only call for the question. I think it's a clarification, and it makes a lot of sense because we do have that requirement available to contractors in the state of Wyoming, and it's a way of getting work done right.
Question being called. We are on Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 28, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1 is passed. Committee of the Whole, we are back on the bill. Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just wait and take questions and try to answer them.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. More for the committee, when you were discussing this legislation, I want to have a little feedback about the number of employees that a contractor has to have working for them in order to qualify for the preference. And my concern is in some of these smaller companies, these small businesses that might only have 10 or 12 employees, is my understanding that they wouldn't qualify for the 5%. And just give me some feedback about why we didn't lower that.
Representative Greer, would you like to answer questions or would you like to hear more comments first?
Mr. Chairman, with my mental capacity being diminished, I'd prefer to take them once at a time.
Representative Greer.
We did have discussion on that, and here's where we are. If you are a Wyoming business and you own 51% or greater as a Wyoming business and you've been a resident for the 1 year period, you qualify for the preference. No problems at all. Where we run into and I'm going to call this the area of compromise. And it's been a compromise that was there before we started this process, and it still is there. But if you are a business entity and you're owned if you're owned out of state, if you're an out of state corporation, and you have a presence in the state of Wyoming, and you've had it for the 1 year requirement, and you have 20 employees, then you qualify. And that 20 number was discussed at length. And that was, quite frankly, what we did is let that sit where it was at, because there were two organizations that had competing interests on that. That's where they settled in on the number, and it happened to be the number that had already been in statute. So, yes, we did discuss it. If someone wants to try to change it over here, I'm open to that debate, but I'm telling you it's a number that is existing and one that really was what the interests of parties agreed upon.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, thank you to good representative and his select committee for working on this. It's a complicated issue. In my county, I do a lot of the procurement legal analysis, and this gets complicated. What my question was I understand this does with construction and with materials, but because I have a particular, well, there's more than one, a few different architects that constantly are calling. Was there discussion? I know it's not for this bill. This bill's really good. I support this bill. But for future discussions, A, does your select committee continue? And B, are there future discussions about professional services, in particularly architects, keep coming up?
Mr. Chairman, no, well, our committee doesn't continue. Thank goodness. And yes, we did discuss professionals, and in particular architects. They're found under another section, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. I apologize. And it's just a general statement in that other section that just says that consider, or it says something like preference will be given to architects, but it doesn't really give a preference. We did have at the second meeting, this issue was discussed. It becomes a very complicated issue because of the heavy use of the management at risk model or contractor management at risk model, and that's in a most of those companies are out of state companies that come in and are for better purposes a general on a project, and they have their own design teams built in with them. So there's a layer to be investigated, but it is really another issue and very complex, and it's a good one to bring up and discuss. Yeah.
Chairman Lockhart. Representative Wilson, sorry, did not see you back there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering if on page 6, lines 18 and 19, if I could just get an explanation. I see that the specific about $5 million has been stricken, and I'm just wondering if I could get an explanation of what the thinking of that was and how what percentage of contracts that might affect and what the fiscal impact of that would be.
Representative Greer.
I don't know if I can answer that one right off the top of my head. Let me look at it a little closer, and I'll get an answer for it. Also, I did misspeak earlier when I was talking about the exception. It's 15 full-time employees in the state, not 20. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Representative Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just curious about the effective date being out in 2014. Most of them, it's like July 1st, 2013, and this is July 1st, 2014. Was that intentional, or could that be a type? It's the last, on the very last back page.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, that should be 2013. It's a good catch. But I've got a second reading amendment coming to clean up a few items, so we'll do that. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion on the bill? Do I hear the question? Question being called on. Oh, Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm for the bill, however, with an explanation. With management contracts now being a means of awarding contracts, and I haven't read this closely enough, but are the general contractors under the management contract system then given preference, or is the preference then voided by virtue of the management contract arrangement?
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman. And this gets into the complexity of the discussion that we had, but my understanding on this is that the subs are then given a preference, being a resident sub, as they bid against the other subs that may be coming in from outside of the state, and then they have the added advantage of meeting that 70% requirement for the alternative delivery method. So there is a, my understanding is a double preference for an in-state contractor or a smaller sub.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Oftentimes, the general contractor is not identified as a subcontractor. Are we now taking the liberty of suggesting that a general contractor is a subcontractor under a management contract?
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, you know, the bid build design concept has a general contractor and then comes in with the subs. Under this management at risk program, what you have is the project. They design it, they build it, and agree to build it for some certain, and they bring in, they're really the general in that situation. And so they'll pull in, they may bring a local company in that you would typically see as a general contractor to manage the site, but they're not a traditional general contractor.
Representative Patton.
Again, I don't mean to belabor this too much, but the statutes now are for some state contracts, the management architect is the state of Wyoming. Does the preference then still apply?
Representative Greer.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, you have to restate the question for me. I'm just not tracking you. I'm sorry.
School contracts now are the management contractor, the management of the project is the state of Wyoming by statute. Is this now anticipating that the subcontractors have the preference, or is the preference then given to the state of Wyoming only?
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I honestly don't know how to answer that question because they're building a school. They're going to either put that out for one of the two delivery methods, and then the subs that are there will qualify for the preference either as being a resident contractor to bid on a bid-build design or also as a resident contractor and then also coming in to meet the 70% requirement. So I may not have the mental ability to answer your question. Sorry.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question on, actually it was a fiscal note that I found on the computer on this bill, but it says there's no significant fiscal impact as a result of this. And I, you know, maybe that's right. Maybe this revision that you've, the new language you've inserted is not going to cost the state more money to do contracts. But did your committee really get down to studying how much it really costs to be giving these preferences out for those kind of cases where lower bids were received, but because of the state preference, you had to take a next highest bid or something of that nature? I'm concerned about these just from the standpoint of the cost.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, no, we did not discuss the policy issues of whether or not there should or should not be a preference. We looked at how do we tighten up the loopholes and try to clean up the language. The policy decision on whether we should have contractor preference needs to come before the body. That needs to be a bill to repeal this, and is really not germane to the task we were assigned with.
Representative Louts.
Mr. Chairman, I rise on and for this bill. This bill, many of you know, is dear to my heart. It's probably the largest and the best economic development bill that we've seen all session. And there is no fiscal note, as pointed out earlier. And you could take it to a different degree and say the fiscal note is on the other side of the issue, is when people that are in our state that own small businesses do get a chance or even an upper hand on some of these things. I want to repeat also, it's not just about the contractors. Contractors seems to get all the headlines because most of the jobs associated with are the big ticket items that we all see millions or hundreds of millions of dollars on. But it's more about the smaller people that fall underneath that when they do get a bid, and then the number of people they engage with and the number of times the money turns over, and it turns over to the little guys on the bottom at a C-store, at a coffee shop, or at somebody selling trinkets on the street. And the other side of that also is these are the same people that will be paying property taxes and all associated mill levies, which out-of-state contractors do not pay. They buy their equipment back at home. So I wish you would we'd get a really positive vote on this and push it forward. There are some things that can be worked on in the future, but this is a good effort and a lot of time spent by the chair of the committee and also the chair of the select committee. Thank you very much.
Representative Greer? Do I have a question?
Yep.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Lockhart's motion when the Committee of the Whole rises to the report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 28 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Senate File 28 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Representative Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
You have heard the motion, but before we do this, are there any committee reports? Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 3, Revenue, will be meeting tomorrow, Wednesday, February 13, in room H11, and it will be at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. We've got one bill, Senate File 80, State Auditor Employee Payment Method Amendments. 9 o'clock.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There will be a brief committee chairman's meeting upon adjournment today.
Representative Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet maybe 20 minutes after adjournment tonight. In H-17 to consider 3 bills, Senate File 57, Highway Speed Limit Increase, Senate File 29, Hitchhiking, and Senate File 16, Engrossed Aeronautics Programs.
Representative Z. Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Z. Chairman. We've had a change in our scheduled member for our Appropriations Committee Number 2 Appropriations was initially going to meet today upon adjournment to hear Senate File 60, Senate File 77, and Senate File 106. Those will be postponed to a later date as your Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 1 will meet on adjournment with the like number from the Senate in the room 204 to work on differences on the House Bill 1 and Senate File 1. Thank you.
Representative Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room 302 to have a joint meeting with the like committee from the down the hall. And the issue will be hybrid energy systems report to the Joint Minerals Business and Economic Development Committees. This is a report that was required by statute, and we're going to do that tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Wednesday, 10 minutes after adjournment, in room H-17 to hear Senate File 97, Engrossed Eligibility for Medicaid.
You have heard the motion, Representative Berger, that we rise and sit again at 2 p.m. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. We will rise and sit again at 2 p.m.